Morning. And welcome to this Sensational Bible Church, where we study the Bible, the Bible's own way. And we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which God has extended His love and mercy and long-suffering for us today. And, you know, even in this nasty now, this world we live in, we still can see some light. Because why? Christ is in you. He's a light that should be shining out of us in a dark world. Once again, we thank you the people that's tuning in and people that are here today. If you'd like to come and visit us, we meet here at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And you're more than welcome to come visit us and be a part of us. As we continue our lesson, we're studying the Word of God rightly divided. And Miles Cloverdale once said, "It shall greatly help ye to understand the Scriptures if thou mark not only what is spoken or written, but of whom and to whom and what words, at what time, where, and to what intent, with what circumstances, considering what goeth before and what followeth after." He said this like in 1500. In other words, you rightly divide the word of truth. You know, that's 2 Timothy 2:15. And we're in lesson 17. I'm making this 17a. Because this is a long one, and what I'm going to do a little different this time, we're going to take a prophecy and mystery. God's made two divisions in His Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God Himself made a distinction in God's Word. So what happens from Genesis chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, it deals with the prophetic program, what happens on this earth. Acts chapter 9 comes along. Paul has revealed a new mystery program that talks about what program? The heavenly program that was never exposed in the times past. I always encourage people all the time, show me where this mystery program was in times past. Well, the mystery was that Christ died for your sins and buried, rose again. No, that's not a mystery. That's Genesis 3:15. That's the gospel of God. He's going to send a redeemer to redeem mankind. And did He do that? Yes, He did, in the form of a son. So we're in lesson 17, and as we're going through some things, go to Matthew chapter 10. These 12, this prophecy program, has to do with the earth. And God chosen. Now, if you think about what we studied last week a little bit, the prophecy program, it was delayed, right? Last lesson. What made Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 deals with the prophetic program on hold. Yes, it's postponed. But now the mystery program is in effect. We also, lesson 15, we talked about God's purpose from the foundation of the world. What was His purpose? It was this earth. And then we found out some purpose before the foundation of the world. What was His purpose? The heavenly program. So when we're looking at this lesson 17, chosen by Christ on earth. There's a certain group of people was chosen by Christ on earth. Amen. So look at chapter 10, verse 1. "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them powers against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manner of diseases." Now, how many diseases?
All.
How many sicknesses? Now, does all mean all? You know in the Greek what all means? Do we have to go back to that to find out what all means? No. We're in an English language. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these, and He names them, right? All the way down to Judas, who has also betrayed Him. And these 12, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into other cities of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, was those 12 disciples, was they part of Israel? But He's saying go to the lost sheep of the house. So there's some lost people out there for Israel. But look at Luke chapter 6. Now, Where was Jesus Christ at when he did this? Or on, where was this? Earth. They're very good. That's where we're, he chose them on earth. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that when he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of whom and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now these are disciples. Now he's naming them what? Apostles. And he names them once again. And then you get down to verse 16, and Judas, the brother James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea of the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Now, you see that the plain? Everybody talks about the Sermon on the what? Mount. Here's a sermon on a plain. And he's down there talking with people. And what are they wanting to do? Be healed. Diseases and stuff. But look, they were called disciples first. What does a disciple mean?
A follower.
You say a follower. A learner. It means to learn, right? And to follow, the learner, scholar, who receives and professes instructions from another. So they're being instructed from Christ. Now, he also called them, then he, apostles. What, you know what apostles mean? It's sent one. That's what it is. Apostles, to send away, to send. A person to execute some important business. It's almost like if you're an ambassador, if you will. But these are apostles now. They're sent from God. You know who? Now, every time you read apostles in this Bible, there's only one place where it's got a uppercase A. Apostle. That's Jesus Christ in Hebrews. He's the only. He's an apostle too. Why would he be an apostle? He's from God the Father. See, so it was when God sent somebody, that's why we always talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man sent from God, the Bible says. So he's from God the Father. He represents God the Father. And what did they do to him? Then the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's God the what? Son. That's God the Son. Then Stephen's full of the Holy Ghost, what did they do? They stone him. So all the representation of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is right there in the front of Israel, and they all rejected them. So when you think about that, disciples of Christ commissioned to preach the gospel. That's what they're going to be sent out now. Now the contrast of this, now once again, before we get to contrast, where did the Lord choose these guys from? From earth, okay? He picked them out. Go to Acts chapter 9. The contrast of this is the fact that this man, now how many apostles did Lord choose? 12, didn't he? Okay, keep that thought there for a minute too in your memory banks. Now you come to Acts chapter 9. And the fact that Acts chapter 9, something changes. Something changes. And you know who comes on the scene in Acts chapter 9? Saul of Tarsus. And he goes Acts chapter 9. And this man right here is chosen by Christ in heaven. Verse 3. Well, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out, threatening and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desire of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way. Now, what way is that? Okay, well, what he commissioned the 12 to do, this way, and that Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from where? The earth, from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is a great city of God, and it's where the light is, right? From heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou? What did he call him? You think he knew who God was?
He knew Jesus.
Did he know Jesus, though?
Yeah, because he heard him preach
because
he was around there.
Hang on, man. Hang on. He called him what? Lord. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou prosecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So where is the Lord talking to him from? Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Say, I know that Paul, you know Paul's pedigree, what he is, and I don't want to give it away in case we get on down through here, but the thing is he was a Hebrew of Hebrews.
Yeah.
He was a Pharisee. He knew who God was of the Bible. He knew who the big Jehovah, the big L-O-R-D was. But when it comes to this Jesus, many people say, hey, he heard him preach. Well, if he heard him preach and carrying on, would it not convince him to be who part of him if he believed God? So he gets this from heaven. So that's where the Lord is. It's after he would died and was buried and rose again that he come back and shine light on Saul. Now, we may get to that in a little bit. I think we will. But how bright was that light?
Brighter than the midday sun.
Have you ever looked up in the midday sun? Many times, I have. I'm like, what am I doing? you look, it's bright. It was brighter than that. That's what blinded him. Go back to the prophecy thing. Go to Acts chapter 1. On the prophecy side, the earth side, had known only Christ on earth. Now, who would have known Christ on earth? Yes. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Go to verse 8. But ye, now who's he talking to here? You and I was not there.
The church.
Yes, in the upper room. Well, look right here. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to who? A bunch of Gentiles would not ask the Lord Jesus Christ about this. So these are the ones that he left behind, if you will. He left. He had Lord Jesus Christ had to go. He had to be killed and be buried and rose again. But what are they asking here? When will you again restore the heavenly kingdom? No, the kingdom to who? Israel. That's all they was worried about, because why? What had been taught for 3.5 years? Yeah, it's at hand. Now, it's not offered yet, but here it is, the kingdom of heaven. Verse 8, but ye, talking about those that he's talking to, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and in a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, where's he at right there? He's not up in heaven talking to them. Where's he at? On this earth. He's with them. So they've known him all this time from earth. Now, that's totally different from Acts 9:15. But go down to verse 20 in the same book, chapter, verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Now, who's he talking about here?
Judas.
It's Judas, right? So, guess what? Was that prophesied that somebody would betray Jesus Christ? For how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. All that's there. You're not going to stop that. And verse 21. Wherefore, that these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us his resurrection. Then they appointed two, Joseph called Barnabas, who was surnamed Justice and Matthias, and they're thinking about Saul of Tarsus. Is that what it says? So wait a minute. So what do you have to be replaced here? From the baptism of who? So they had to witness everything the Lord Jesus Christ did to be a part of this bishopric. 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I got Matthew 18. Let's see. Just might have to go there again. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Matthew 18, 18 and 19. Verily I say unto you, whosoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This is part of that commission, but at the same time, who's he talking to? Okay? And what are they going to do? Whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever they let loose on earth, that type of thing. Got to remember that. So, had known only Jesus Christ on the earth. Go to the contrast side. Au contraire. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Apostle Paul was in the waiting for somebody else to goof up, so he become one of Jesus Christ's apostles. So he could have the authority to do what God told the 12 to do. What they was doing out there is exactly what God told them to do. And Paul had threatening letters to stop this stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Where do we find the gospel of Christ at? Let's start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believe in vain. For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, where did he receive it at? From the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, right? Christ taught him from the Word of God on this earth that I got to go die. No. Then he says, and it was buried, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, where would Paul know the Scriptures at? Yes, he had the books. And he got it from the Word of God. And that he was seen as Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8. At last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due time. You can take that right there in a court of law and it will hold up. That right there. Period. But he was seen last of who? Paul seen him last. So he didn't see him walking on this earth. He didn't see him on that road to Damascus with those other two. He saw the glorified risen Lord. And the glorified risen Lord and Savior is in royal exile right now. He's not up there and, oh, I'm hiding in a little corner somewhere. He's beside the Father in royal exile. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Verse 10. Well, verse 9 says, verse 8 says, verse 7 says, you don't start to get, that's got to go too far. But until, verse 7, until which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jew. Why should it be thought a thing incredible unto you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them all in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even into strange cities. Whereunto, as I went into Damascus with authority and commissions from the chief, this man was evil. This man, you know what they probably thought about him? He's the Antichrist. He had letters. He had authorities. He was convincing them to blaspheme. Give up your God. Speak evil against him. Verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in a way of a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in a, you know what language Jesus Christ speaks? You know what Paul speaks? Hebrew tongue. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. We just read that a little while ago back there. He's reaccounting what happened in Acts chapter 9. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou prosecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both things which thou hast seen. Now, what would he have seen? And all the things that he did to Jesus Christ, right? And those things in which I will appear unto thee. Deliver thee the people from the Gentiles, and unto whom now I send these. And I opened their eyes, and turned them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan and God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereunto, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the what? Heavenly vision. You know, there's a difference between vision and dreams. Vision is there. You can see it. Dreams is like, oh, that type of thing. Heavenly vision. What's the heavenly vision that Paul's given about? And the powers and principalities and all that up in the heaven. But had known Jesus Christ from where? The heaven. What is, we was in 1 Corinthians 15. No. 2 Corinthians. I've got to share this. We may go over it again. 2 Corinthians 5. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge if one die for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that many which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. And we don't die for ourselves. He died for us. Look. Wherefore, henceforth, we know man, no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. When did you know Christ after flesh? It's got to be in his word, because the Corinthians wasn't there. We wasn't there. But it says, yet now henceforth we know him no more. How do you know Jesus Christ? Oh, you got to go. People tell you today, the denominations of people, men, has corrupted us. Even the simplicity of gospel Christ. Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, plus nothing else. You don't join church memberships. You don't do water baptism. They do everything. Circumcised, whatever. We've been through that. What about the people when the Judaizer says, hey, unless you circumcise after manner of Moses, you can't be saved. And here's Paul's talking about, no. Let's go to Jerusalem, guys. We'll settle this right now. You got your leaders over there. Let's go over there. But look, know him no more. When people says it's okay that Christ died for your sins, buried ground, you can believe that, but you got to do this. You got to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you got to live like Jesus lived. Now let me ask you something. And through your studies, don't take my word through it. Through your studies, what you've learned from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how did they do with walking around with Jesus? Not too good. So how in the world do you think you're going to do? If you go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as your books for your authority and the dispensation of grace, how's it going to work on your inner man? It's going to fail. Your inner man is going to sit there starving. No. Feed me. So know him no more. How do you know him? The risen, glorified Lord and Savior. And you're only going to find that in Romans 2, Philemon. Okay, now, I've got a couple more, because this is going to maybe take more lessons, but that's okay. We got between now and the rapture to get through this. You know what I mean? So let's go back to the contrast side. Representing Israel, one apostle for each tribe. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Now, one apostle, Matthew chapter 19. How many tribes of Israel are they? How many hours are in a day? How many hours are in a day? 12 in a day and 12 at night. Okay? And there's 12 hours in a day, and there's 24. That's why there's 4 and 20 elders in the sides of the north out there. I believe there's one elder for each time zone in the earth. But anyway, that's another study. But where did I say to go? Matthew 19. 12 tribes. Why 12? Why not 13, 14, 15? Why not 24? 12 apostles. But where did 12 come from? But where did they come from? They just didn't pop out of the air. He says, ooh, 12. What does number 12 represent? The nation Israel, right? How did they get 12? I'm trying to say.
Jacob's sons.
Right, Jacob's sons. Okay, he had 12 sons. And when Jacob wrestled the angel, he said, you're not leaving until you bless me. He said, your name is no longer called Jacob, but who? Israel. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. That's why the 12 tribes of Israel. And verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, and what shall we have therefore? Now, here's Peter. That's a good question, right? If you follow somebody all your life and they're what are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? What are you gonna? And he says, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory. When did that take place? Where is it going to take place? Ages to come. Ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of who? And every one of you that have forsaken house and or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. You know what that is? That's Deuteronomy. Hold your finger there for a second. Go to Deuteronomy 32. What do you know about Deuteronomy? It's the second giving of the law. It's the fifth book, just like the book of Acts. Deuteronomy 32. I can get there. I'll try to get there before you guys do. 32. Chapter 32. Okay. 32, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thou father, and he shall show thee. Thou elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the son of Adam, he set the bounds of people according to the number of the children of who? Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God chose this. This is God's doing. That's a great commission back over there in Matthew. This is what they're going to get. You and I have never been under a great commission. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22. Verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Now, who is this? This is apostles' place in a future kingdom. This is going to happen future, right? And I will appoint you unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So representing Israel, each one of those apostles are going to represent each tribe. That is a governmental structure over there. You got the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne for 1,000 years. Then he gets off that throne and David sits there. He promised David that he would sit on the throne, his throne forever. Then under him is going to be 12 tribes. Then under him, no, excuse me, under him is going to be 12 apostles. Then under them is going to be 12 tribes. Then under them is going to be the nations going into that kingdom over there. Not the body of Christ. Contrary to this, one apostle representing the oneness of the body. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Probably make this one the last one today. Romans chapter 12. No, we'll do one more at this. Romans 12. Romans 12. Verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace that is given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man his measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in who? Christ, every one member of one of another. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto what? One Spirit. Let me ask you something right there. When he says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, is he talking about them kingdom Jews over here? You know, there's people today, says the 12 there's a big thing about, are the 12 in the body or out of body?
The 12 apostles are not in the body of Christ.
Are the 12 apostles in the body of Christ or out of body of Christ?
Out of body of Christ, because they're still in the kingdom.
They're in the kingdom. They're in a part of the kingdom program. They're in Christ.
But they get their reward at the end. We get ours now.
Yeah. But they're not in the body. That's why we always say, show me in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Genesis through Malachi, that God was dealing with a body of Christ. He wasn't. He was forming a nation. That's different. You know what Gentiles mean? Gentiles. You know what it means? Nations. That's with S. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body, 14 spirits, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all in you all. The one. That one apostle, Paul, is representing the oneness and the body of Christ. That one apostle, Paul, you know what he is? If there's 12, what makes Paul? 12 and a half. 12 and a quarter. Do I get four? Did I ever? He just won, but what is he normally of? He's the 13th apostle. Now, how many books did he write? You know what 13 means in the Bible? Less than 12. What is it? No. 13. It's a rebel. It's a rebellious person. He was a rebellious person. The number 13 is rebellion. That's what, you know, I'm a Southerner by birth. There's a battle flag people flies out there and they get all upset about it. If you know your history, it shouldn't affect you. But there's 13 stars on there. What's 13 represent? But there's only 10 that did. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is Paul was a rebellious, blasphemous, injurious person. And when God Almighty was on that cross, Jesus Christ, and they crucify him, and he says, if I blaspheme against the Son of Man, which he was the Son of Man, and they said, who are you? He said, I'm the Son of God. No, you said that type of thing, right? And they're like, blaspheme. And he said, he's hung on a cross. He said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. So God the Father answered God the Son's prayer, and he forgave them. You got 1 year, Israel. That's why the kingdom's at hand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was never offered to them. It's offered in Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now it's offered to them. He says, hey, it's offered to you. I forgave you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. They didn't know about this. So that tells you something. When people says, what's unpardonable sin? First thing comes to your mind is what? That's error. The unpardonable sin is dying saved. You die and saved. You got a chance to your last breath to trust Jesus Christ. Okay? It's that when you die and saved, you cannot be. Send somebody back to my brothers. Remember the guy over in the Mexico? Hey, you had Abraham. You had my word. But you blaspheme, you die, that's unpardonable. So Paul comes along. Where was he at when the man full of the Holy Ghost? He blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. He couldn't be in this program. Couldn't be saved in that program. So what did God do? He takes a blasphemer. He takes an injurious. He takes somebody the world hated or the world loved because they hated what he's doing, and he turns them into a prisoner. He turns it for us, Christ, for us Gentiles. So we have an apostle day, and I firmly believe this, guys, that what Paul went through, and the things that he went through, he wrote down, God wrote them in a book so you and I wouldn't have to go through some of those things. So you and I say, hey, this is what my apostle went through. And there's two people in your Bible says follow them. Drop your nets and follow me. And then Paul, be ye followers me as I follow who? Christ. You have to rightly divide the word. I think I'm going to stop there. 17b. But we got a lot more to go because when you go back and forth and you understand this, the contrast in God's word is very, very important. Because if not, you mix it off, you make mace. And it's just a mess. And you're like, and you're trying to get through God. I want to do what God does. He tells me this. And you finally just throw your book over in the corner and you said, I had it. I had enough. I can't do this. But when you understand who you are in Christ, we're going to fail miserably. I fail every day. But when you know that what God is doing and His Word is right, and you got an apostle that tells you, hey, the things that I do, I find myself not doing. But the things I want to do, I'm not doing them. He beats that down every day. We have to beat that down every day to understand who we are. But once you understand that, you can understand why my wife chews me out when I don't cook supper right. Yeah? You know, I can understand why she don't do house cleaning. You know, I'm just joking, guys. But I'm just saying, you know, that's just fleshly stuff. And I want to encourage you, getting ready to close, honey. When I get, I can encourage you that when you, like I said on the slide, when you talk to people, just sit down and talk to them. Let them talk to you, and you find out where they're at. Just find, don't beat them up.
That doesn't work.
My wife and I was trained under ministry, and time passed that it was paw, 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 dump truck and dump all the appalling truths on them till they just like this and they get watery-eyed and they just, you lose them. Just simple things. What do you trust in? Where are you at? What do you know about Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought about this? Just little things, tidbits. Next thing you know, you're like, tell me more. What's that, doing this, some football players? Feed me, feed me. And that's what we want you to do when you come and join us and listen to us. In order us to be able to feed somebody, guess what we have to do? We have to be fed, be full. Yes, and that's what he was trying to do with Israel. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.